Hey everybody, Brandon Muth with BrandonMuth.com and the Muthonomics podcast. Greetings. I'm focusing my efforts, a chunk of my efforts in 2019 on teaching people how to think like an entrepreneur. And hopefully that will convert to people becoming entrepreneurs, and hopefully that will convert to people becoming effective entrepreneurs. And one of the things that I want to talk about today, it's two words. They both start with F. They're not profanities. But it's a mantra that I have used in my life for a while now. Share it with my kids. It's kind of a focal point for all activities that we undertake. And you're going to hear it and you're probably going to say, huh, what does that mean? You know, I don't understand. But it's two simple words. You can understand it if you have half a functioning brain, which I'm sure most of you do. Probably you even have maybe like a three-quarter functioning brain, a fully functioning brain. It all depends on how much you're multitasking at this point in time. If you have 27 tabs open on Chrome or Firefox, I would say Safari, but if you're still using Safari, like what version of Mac OS are you running? So if you've got 27 tabs open and you've got Netflix streaming in the background and you're refreshing your Snapchat or your Instagram feed while, you know, checking trending hashtags on Twitter, you might only have like a 12th of a functioning brain at the moment. I have no idea. It all depends on the level of, one, the processor speed that God's gifted you with, and two, how many processes you actually have running concurrently while you're listening to this thing. So the two words are, at 2 minutes and 7 seconds in, it's a simple phrase, and it is floss first. Floss first. If you want to be an effective anything, let alone an entrepreneur, you must dedicate yourself to and learn this very simple lesson of floss first. And you say, what does that mean? There's so much I can tell about you or anybody by whether or not they floss their teeth. And you say, well, of course I floss. Well, I don't know about that. I think there's a lot of people who floss the day before the dentist appointment. I think there's a lot of people who go into the dentist for their 6 month checkup and they say, now, ooh, make sure you're checking. And they go through the poking your gums and putting in the, you know, I don't know if it's millimeters or if it's just a dentist key of like a dentist scale of 1 through 5, you know, but they give you those, you know, I can't remember what they say. It's been a couple months, but there's some like, you know, basically lower level tooth number 4, and they assign a number to it. And then if they poke it and it bleeds, they say, oh, you know, upper level tooth number 6, bleeding. And they put it into the computer. And, you know, and then you have people that are like moaning in the, you know, I want to say stall next to you. That, you know, and it's like, and then you always hear the advice, now, make sure that, you know, you need to be flossing on a daily basis because that'll, you know, eliminate the germs around your gums and blah, 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 blah. And then you go home and you don't floss. And then you panic the week before your dentist appointment and maybe you floss a couple times, you know, load up on mouthwash, you buy the rechargeable electrical toothbrush, you jam it in there and give yourself like a 30-minute brush job. Hey, I can make up for 6 months of negligence with a 30-minute Oral-B session with the super scrubby brush, okay? that's not how... that mentality is not going to allow you to be anything close to being a successful, effective entrepreneur. If your mentality is, I will make up for... it's not going to work. That's the equivalent of Carl Lewis singing that national anthem when he butchered that thing and he goes, oh, I'll make up for it now. And he didn't. It got worse. You know, so if that's your mentality of I'm going to be negligent and I'm not going to floss for 5.5 months or 5 months and 3.5 weeks, and then I'm going to make up for it with some, you know, all night oral B session, which in a certain realm, it sounds like it might be some sort of fetish or something. I'm married for 18 years. It's okay. It's okay, people. Don't have a heart attack. Yeah, you're not going to make up for it. You're going to go in and you're going to be exposed, as my kids like to say. Oh, he's exposed. Ankle's broken. Oh, he exposed him. So the first step for 2019 to thinking like an effective entrepreneur and hopefully moving into being an effective entrepreneur is you must floss first. And you go, why is that important? Like, what does my dental health have to do with being an entrepreneur? Well, it's not necessarily your dental health. I mean, I'm sure there's successful business people who have the most jacked up dental hygiene. I mean, Jerry Jones back in the day had some pretty nasty looking teeth, and the guy was like a billionaire. I'm sure there's other people. I can't think of any off the top of my head because all these rich people now have, you know, the dental, are they dental implants, their crowns, whatever they are. They're like fake teeth that look, you know, like $1 million regardless. Doesn't matter when, time of day, nothing. They're just always glistening, blinding white. So what does your dental health have to do with being an entrepreneur? It's not so much your dental health, but it is whether or not you floss first. It's indicative of your attention to vital yet minute details. That's what it boils down to. And if you fail to floss your teeth, it is cracking open the armor of your whatever, to allow other compromises to creep into your life. So the compromise of hitting the snooze button, the compromise of not making that extra sales call, the compromise of cutting a corner on a job, the compromise of whatever. And you go, oh man, there's no way that just not flossing my teeth could lead to all these things. And I would tend to disagree with you. I mean, there's an old proverb that says the fly in the ointment, you know, spoils the entire batch. You know, if you imagine if you got a gallon of milk and there was a dead fly in there, you would not drink the milk. You would be repulsed. You would, you know, post it all over social media. You'd say how disgusting. You'd enter in, you know, you'd at whoever the milk manufacturer was, Borden or Great Value or whatever Publix or Safeway or whatever Kroger, whatever grocery store you shop at, you would at them and you would say, you guys are disgusting. I found a fly in my milk. And then you'd be fielding requests from all kinds of news organizations saying, hey, I'm with so-and-so ABC News. Do you mind if I use your photo? We'll give you full credit. And you'll say yes, because you want to be famous for 15 minutes or more like 15 seconds. You won't get paid a dime for it. And the news media will continue to run off of free slave labor, which is just generated by the social media crowds clamoring for their 15 seconds of fame. You realize that's what's happening, right? Like, this is a total tangent, but you realize that's what social media has done. Like, it has eliminated the burden of news organizations to go out and hire reporters and to hire journalists and to hire photographers, because they're just relying on the crowdsourced content, which you don't get compensated for other than the little dopamine hit of, oh, I'm famous, look. And then you take a little screenshot of it and then you post the screenshot of your original post onto your post and you say, oh, look, I'm famous. Oh, how cool. I'm so humbled. It was amazing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Social media culture. Stick a fork in it already. Can't we? Can't the little thermometer pop up and it can go ding? And we can go, hey, it's done. It's finally over with. This is done. Let's take it out of the oven. Let's move on to another dish, because this all-you-can-eat buffet of viral stupidity is getting a little bit long in the tooth, which is a perfect segue right back into the flossing. Come on now. That's a good podcast segue right there. So yeah, your ability to commit to consistently doing an unglamorous, minute, hidden detail is going to have huge returns and huge implications on your effectiveness as an entrepreneur. So I would encourage you in 2019 to floss. What I do, and this is just something I've done for probably 3 years now, on my productivity app, I use OmniFocus. You can click below for an affiliated link. I'm kidding. But OmniFocus is, it's expensive. I think the iPhone app was $19, $19.99, something like that. And the Mac desktop app was like $40. But it's the most robust, they've got the best taxonomies available of all of the productivity apps that I had sampled. You know, so many of them they're just such pie in the sky. They're for the New Year's resolution crowds. You know, most productivity apps are for the lazy bums that are just the New Year's resolution crowds. Oh, I need to get more productive, so I need to create myself a to-do list that I'll just never check off and defer and look at for 3 weeks and then delete. That's what they are. It's like pick up groceries. And I love all the sample screens, you know. It's like you look through the app store at these sample screens of these productivity apps, and it's like pick up milk. Next item. Drop kids off at school. Next item. Go to gym. Next item. Take trip to Italy. I mean, really? Really? If that's how you're approaching productivity, you are a worthless producing person. No, you're not worthless as a person. You're not worthless as a person. But your worth on a productivity front is pretty low. In fact, it's very low. And I wonder if this thing still records if my computer goes to sleep. That's going to be funny to find out. Is it still recording when it goes to sleep? Uh-oh. Password didn't work. Here we go. Moment of truth. Yay! It's still recording. At least I think it is. Yeah, it looks like it is. Yeah, I mean, that's all the screenshots, you know, of things and the to-do apps and all these things. It's like, oh, download and jot down crap you're going to do anyway. I mean, drop kids off of school. If that has to be on your to-do list, you know, I'd question, you might need a parenting class or two. So anyway, OmniFocus is great because their taxonomies are incredibly deep and incredibly complex. It's sort of like a Gantt chart app. I mean, you can move items through different phases, whether it's concurrent or, you know, progressive, or, you know, it depends on another item getting done. I mean, it's fantastic. So if you want to bump your productivity up, and that's even assuming you know what a Gantt chart is and know how to work all that stuff, but you could, you know, Google a Gantt chart or Google some sort of like professional project management thing on YouTube, and I just said Google it on YouTube. Whoop-de-doo! If that doesn't show you how every other search engine in the history of the internet has failed. I didn't even say search it on YouTube. I said Google it on YouTube. Google wins, hands down. They're victorious. They can bust out the Queen song, "We Are the Champions," which, by the way, I haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. I heard it won a Golden Globe with Malik. I don't know his name. I've seen his face before. I know I've seen him as an actor before, and I'm trying to remember where. It seems like he played like some pharaoh. Was he the? Maybe that's who he was. I'm going to double check this real quick. I think he played the Prince of Darkness or whatever he was in Night of the Museum. Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't even know his name. What's the cast? The cast is... Come on, LTE. Live up to your advertised promises. Rami Malek. I guarantee you he's the prince from Night at the Museum, and I think that's the only thing that I know him in. Movies and TV shows. Mr. Robot. Yep, Night at the Museum, 2006. Oh, he redid Papillon, this old Steve McQueen movie? That might be worth it. Pacific, Need for Speed, War at Home, Twilight, nope. Dude, that's amazing. He's been in some urine poor movies. Another word to say, he's been in some piss poor movies. Wow. He was in Independence Day, the remake. I didn't realize that. Austin Powers, Gold Member. Huh. Wow, he's been in some bad movies, and then all of a sudden he gets an Oscar nod for playing Freddie Mercury. I wonder if Hollywood has an agenda. Yeah, I'm sure they don't. I'm sure they don't have a lifestyle agenda that they're all trying to cram down our throats. But that's neither here nor there. Or actually, is it? Maybe it is here, and maybe it is there. I would argue that it is here or there. I mean, B-rate actor at best, Oscar nods. Yeah, I would say he signed his soul over to the Hollywood agenda, and they're rewarding him thus. They are rewarding him thusly. Go for it, Rami Malek. What was the segue? Oh yeah, Google singing We Are the Champions, because I said Google on YouTube. They definitely win. No competition there. So go there and you know, go to YouTube and type in the search bar, Gantt chart, productivity, you know, project management, and I'm sure you'll find some valuable videos on if you need a little bit of acquaintance with that. Or you could go to college and get into debt, $200,000 and learn the same stuff. Which, I mean, you know, when I went to college, it wasn't even that expensive, and who cares? That's not the point of this podcast. The point of this podcast, of this particular episode, is to floss. It's to floss first. So, the productivity app that I have, OmniFocus, about 3 years ago, I put it in as a recurring to-do, and it pops up every morning at 5 a.m., and it pops up every night at 10 p.m., and it's just something to get me ingrained in the habit of embracing the fact that in order to be effective as an entrepreneur, I must do hidden, unglamorous stuff that's not fun. Nobody sees me flossing. It takes 2 minutes. It would be the easiest thing in the world to justify away. I'm tired. It's just 2 minutes. What's that going to do? Well, apparently a lot. Apparently a lot. Because I get complimented on my gum health on a regular basis when I go to the dentist. Ooh, you're a gum health bragger. You're one of those guys. Hashtag humble brag. First off, that wasn't even a humble brag. It was just a straight up in your face, my gums are better than yours. but no, I'm in all seriousness, if you want any chance of thinking like an entrepreneur and you want any chance of becoming an effective entrepreneur, you have to floss first. Because it's anonymous. It's not glorified. People aren't going to praise you for it. It's a small detail that can easily get overlooked. It's an inconvenience that can easily be justified away. And there's so many overlays to business responsibilities that it's the easiest way to start creating habits that are going to apply to other areas of your efforts and of your endeavors. So that's the main thing that I want to get across as we sit at the midway point of January 2019. It's probably the most, it's the first piece of advice. I mean, there's four pillars and four practical things, all kinds of stuff that we're going to be going over, that I'm going to be putting on my site here shortly regarding, you know, I've been at entrepreneurship since really the summer of 1988. And you go, wait a second, you were only 9 years old. How is that even possible? Because my dad, who didn't work and didn't have a job, and my mom got laid off, he gave me a off-brand hefty trash bag, dropped me off on the side of the highway, and said, go pick up beer cans, and if you hear a car, hide. Okay, pops. See ya. Drops me off. Skirts out. We're 60 miles outside of the nearest town on this little two-lane highway, and I got to go pick up aluminum cans, dodging rattlesnakes in the middle of the New Mexican summer. And then we rendezvoused later with my mom and my two sisters and my dad, and we all had a bag of aluminum cans, and we bounced in to the city of Albuquerque in our jalopy, found a recycling center at a pawn shop, cashed them in for some cold hard cash, went to Safeway, got a 12-pack of beer, got a couple boxes of off-brand mac and cheese money, and my little 9-year-old brain went, wow, there is a direct correlation between effort and eating. I go sweat on the highway for a couple hours, searching for these shiny treasures, and it results in warm off-brand mac and cheese in my belly later in the evening. So when I talk about wanting to teach people how to think like an entrepreneur, I've been at this for 31 stinking years. And so inevitably, there's going to be a lot of other things that come with this in addition to just flossing first. But it seems like flossing first is one of the most practical steps you can take because it's one of the most easily accessible. And you go, oh, but Muth, my gum health exceeds yours. I've got AAA rated gums. You're a single A junk bond. Well, first off, single A bonds aren't junk bonds, but in comparison to your AAA rated, maybe they are. But if you've seen The Big Short, you'd know that all those ratings are baloney to begin with, but I digress. And you say, Brandon, I already floss. I already floss. I have AAA rated gums. The dentist fawns over my gums every single time I go in. He posts them on social media. Oh, you've got to see these gums. They're A+, A+, A+. My dentist acts like Ralphie's school teacher in his dream with his little red riding hood. No, his little red rider. His little red, what? Little red, that's weird. Little Red Riding Hood is the girl with the wolf, and I think the Little Red Rider BB gun. Huh, interesante. Maybe that was just a marketing department sitting around going, man, we got this Little Red Riding Hood, and her costume's selling like crazy, but we got this stinging rifle over here that shoots out little 3-millimeter cannonballs. What are we going to call this thing? Man, I don't know. How about we just take off the hood? Perfect! Approved! Mass produce! Just change the ing to er and we're good. Little Red Riding Hood, Little Red Rider BB gun. That's probably how that went down, knowing how lazy advertising people can be. So your teeth are great. Well, then I would say pick something else that you need to do or that you could do to improve that desire and the discipline to do anonymous, unglamorous, easily justifiable, easily ignorable things, because the better you get at paying attention to those sorts of tasks, and not just doing them just to do them, but feeling a conviction that these are necessary, the better you're going to be as an entrepreneur. So get busy flossing. Maybe it's rinsing off your dishes after you eat and slotting them in the dishwasher. Maybe it's getting your car cleaned on a regular basis. Maybe it's organizing your closet that nobody sees. Whatever it is, there's got to be something. I guarantee you there's something in your life that's equivalent to flossing first that you can pay attention to and seek to develop a conviction for its importance. And if you can do that, you're well on your way to improving your effectiveness as an entrepreneur. And it's not one of those cheeseball app store to-do list, New Year's resolution types of things. It's got to be something that you, in 3 years, you're doing it. And it's a conviction to do it. And it becomes a habit to do it. I hate this time of year because of all the New Year's resolutions, people. They drive me crazy. And I'm currently here in a little bit going into the gym to participate in one of my favorite HIIT classes, high intensity interval training. And I hate this time of year because it's bursting at the seams. And I know by mid-February, it's going to be back to normal. My point is not to kvetch about, you know, part-time, not even part-time, like 12th of the time workout people, but you're not going to be a successful entrepreneur. You're not even going to begin to approach being an effective entrepreneur if you can't do the minuscule tasks that nobody sees that are unglamorous, but yet that are absolutely necessary. So go buy that floss. Go wash that car, trim those nose hairs. I don't know what it is, but there's something popping to your head right now saying, wow, that is an attention to detail that I need to not just pay attention to till February 10th, but that I need to pay attention to starting today and every day going forward. And in 3 years, I can look back and say, wow, yes, that has produced another layer of discipline in me, which has positively impacted my entrepreneurial efforts. So we're approaching 30 minutes. I could probably ramble for another 2.5 minutes, but I feel like that's all I need to say. We're going to get to some other key pillars here as we go through the month of January. Not least of which I'm looking forward to a little bit of discussion on The Inner Game of Tennis, one of the best books ever, even if you're not a tennis player, which I've played since I was 3 as well. So I've been a tennis player since I was 3, and I've been an entrepreneur since I was 9. So two things near and dear to my heart, and two things that have comprised the vast majority of my years on this round ball we call Earth. Happy New Year. Thanks for stopping by. Feel free to, I was going to say like, subscribe, share. This isn't YouTube. I'm not Googling on YouTube right now. leave a comment, which you can't in iTunes, but you can subscribe to get notified when new episodes are available, which will be quite frequently. You know, it's interesting when you find something that is near and dear to your heart, how easily it flows forth. And tennis and entrepreneurship are two things that are both near and dear to my heart. So I'm really looking forward to 2019 and teaching people how to think like entrepreneurs and ultimately, hopefully, how to convert that better thinking into more effective entrepreneurship. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk at you later. Bye. Bye. Adios. Peace.